Everybody's going to have to bear with me this morning because I have a pretty sore throat. I'll try to make it as painless as possible for you. We're going to look there in Genesis chapter number 37. We'll start reading there in verse number 12. The Bible says, "And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem, and a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Now, anybody that's even vaguely familiar with the Bible, that's went to Sunday school or grew up in church or maybe even had a grandmother that was religious, they're familiar with some of the stories of the Bible. And a majority of the time, they're very familiar with stories in the book of Genesis specifically. There's a lot of popular stories. And the story of Joseph is pretty popular, where Joseph is sold into slavery by his brethren. So we know that the outcome that we just finished reading here, you know, it doesn't end up going that way. We finished the chapter as well just a moment ago. But the initial plan of his brothers, look there in verse 18. It says, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them," it says this, "they conspired against him to slay him." So they plotted or they planned, they conspired, the Bible says, against Joseph. And what did they conspire to do? They conspired to slay him. The title of my sermon is derived from 2 Samuel chapter number 15, verse number 12, where the Bible reads, "And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileadite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Giloh, while he offered sacrifices." Excuse me. Then the Bible says this, "And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom." The title of my sermon is "The Conspiracy Was Strong." The conspiracy was strong. Now, the word conspiracy is a word that people try to avoid using. People that use the word conspiracy and people that go around claiming that, you know, this situation or this circumstance was brought about with a conspiracy is normally mocked and ridiculed. So now people have become afraid of even using the word conspiracy. And it's even worse than that now, where Christians, even Christians, professing Christians, who claim that they read the Bible, if you bring up conspiracies to them, you know, if you bring up, you know, any sort of, a mainstream point of view or some sort of situation that took place, a historical event, and you give them some other point of view or some other perspective about what you believe took place, they'll mock and they'll ridicule you. And what will they tell you? They'll tell you that you're paranoid. You know, they'll tell you that you're just a conspiracy theorist, or that's just a conspiracy theory, to the point of where that phrase has just become derogatory. Right. But we don't make it as far as past the first book of the Bible, where the Bible starts teaching where someone is conspiring against someone else. Then let me go ahead and say this. The Bible itself is a book of conspiracies. The overarching theme of the Bible is a conspiracy. The Bible teaches that there's righteousness and that there's wickedness and that there's spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Bible teaches that there's good and there's bad. And the Bible teaches that Satan conspires to hurt and to harm Christians and to damage lives. And to, you know, if he could, he just wants to destroy, and he would love for everybody just to go to hell with him. Mm-hmm. But the Bible teaches, the overall theme of the Bible is a conspiracy. And I'm going to show you that all throughout the Bible is just one conspiracy after another. And oftentimes, this is why people that You know, let's say a person gets saved. They believe in Jesus. And maybe they were one in that camp where they mocked and they ridiculed conspiracies. But once they believe in Jesus, they have the Holy Spirit, and they begin reading the Bible, you'll notice that they'll start to become a conspiracy theorist over time.
Right.
And also, it's not a coincidence that oftentimes the people that end up getting saved are people that are conspiracy theorists already. Because they're aware of, you know, the evil in the world. And then when someone approaches them with the Bible, you know, the Bible itself makes sense, and then the gospel has power, and then they believe on Jesus Christ and they get saved. That's why, obviously, Alex Jones is a total idiot, but there's many people that have found Pastor Anderson and our movement through Alex Jones because he has nuggets of truth that he teaches, you know, on his show. Now, I'm going to have you turn to Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. The Bible reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Then it says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Then he says, against principalities, against powers. This is what we do wrestle against. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And then he says, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the Bible teaches that there is a battle going on. The Bible teaches that there are evil forces of the spiritual realm and men that are very wicked in this world that hold positions of power, that hold positions of high authority, and that these men are battling against us. Now, whether you're fighting against them or not makes no difference because they're fighting against you. Yeah. And the Bible is very clear that there are men that are very evil, wicked men that are used by Satan to harm and to persecute Christians. Turn to John chapter 11, verse number 43. I'm going to give you the definition of the word conspiracy. Definition number one is to conspire. Definition number two says, an evil, unlawful, treacherous plan formulated in secret by two or more persons. And then it says, a plot. Definition number three, a combination of persons for a secret, unlawful, or evil purpose. And I got the definition of conspiring for you. Because definition number one was to conspire. Conspiring means to agree together, especially secretly, to do something wrong, evil, or illegal. Now you're in John chapter number 11, verse number 43. John chapter number 11, verse number 43. This was fairly early on in Christ's ministry. It says in John chapter number 11, verse number 43, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest, so notice the position of power that he held, the high priest that same year, said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad." Now look at verse 53. "Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." Now we're going to look at some passages and some scriptures in a moment with the word conspiracy. But right here we have a perfect description or a perfect definition as a whole with this verse of people conspiring or a conspiracy being thought out or being planned. We have people sitting down together, more than one, because a conspiracy, the word co there, the root, the prefix of that word means with. It's referring to two things being together. And then the conspiring is a person trying to pull out a plan. So you have here more than one person sitting down together, and they're sitting down together and they're taking counsel for the whole reason of trying to figure out a way to put one person to death. Look at Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 1. Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 1. Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 1. John chapter 11 actually was later on in his ministry. I misspoke. But here, Matthew chapter number 27, look at verse number 1. Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests, notice, positions of power, and elders of the people, it says, took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. This is actually after Jesus had already been arrested. Now, if you're familiar with the story, you know that Judas was the one that betrayed Jesus, which also went to them and agreed with them to give them a certain amount of money, that he would receive a certain amount of money for Jesus. Now, if a person that claims to be a Christian, a person that claims to believe the Bible, would look me straight into my eyes and truly say to me, I do not believe that conspiracies occur, then they don't believe the Bible.
Right. Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Number one, like I said, the overarching theme of the Bible is that there is a battle between good and evil, and that there are wicked people that are trying to harm and hurt the righteous of this earth. But not only that, the most historical moment, the most historical and significant event that ever took place on this planet of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, coming down to this earth and dying on the cross, was carried out through a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you say, hey, I'm a Christian and I believe the Bible, but then you turn around and you say, hey, I don't believe that any conspiracies exist, then that means that you don't believe the Bible's a record of when Jesus Christ was put to death. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was put to death by wicked men sitting down and taking counsel together. And they continually, if you're familiar with the story, they continually brought in people. You know, they were trying to have false witnesses that would be set up against them. So they were coming together and they were speaking about and they were trying to figure out a way to put Jesus Christ to death. Turn to 1 Kings chapter number 15, verse number 25. And everyone's become too afraid to speak out, and they're afraid to use the word conspiracy. The word conspiracy is a Bible word. The word conspiracy is used scores of times in the Bible. And here's the thing, the world thinks Christians are crazy in the first place. So why would you care if they think you're crazy because you deny some other, maybe modern day or modern event, current event that took place today, the mainstream view of that. And you know, the people that try to make you look like you're a nutcase, and the people that try to make you look like a whack job, and that have, I believe there's a conspiracy to make conspiracy theorists look crazy.
Yeah.
You know why? Because the agenda to make the conspiracy theorists look crazy, it's coming from the people that are pulling off the conspiracies.
Right.
It's coming from all the people that are sitting up top and they're trying to manipulate society and they're trying to carry out their wickedness and all of their evil, evil agendas. But first they have to make sure that, hey, we don't want anybody questioning us. And to make sure that nobody questions us, we'll make sure they're too afraid or everybody will make fun of them. And Christians today are too scared of a little bit of persecution that they won't stand up for what's right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not only talking about within the Bible. We should stand up for the truth and what's right even outside of the Bible. You should always be honest and you should always stand up for what's right. Look at 1 Kings chapter number 15, verse number 25. Now, it's not a coincidence that almost all of the times that the word conspiracy shows up in the Bible, the majority of the times that the word conspiracy or maybe in other variations, conspire, shows up in the Bible. Excuse me. Shows up in the books of Kings and Chronicles and the book of Samuel. Now, why is that significant? Because the Bible says that there's spiritual wickedness in high places that's fighting against us. in the context of Kings, Samuel, Chronicles, all of these books, it's the context of all of people in power. People that are in power are very greedy people. Mm-hmm. And they're never happy with what they have. They always want more. So you know what they do? They go and they conspire and they work out plans. And you know, oftentimes those are the people that have the resources, and those are the people that are in the position to be able to pull off conspiracies. Now, the Bible obviously is authored by God and it's written by God. So oftentimes when people would take counsel together at the time of the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel, and they thought they pulled off a conspiracy, the whole world found out about it later when it got pinned down in the book of the Bible. It got pinned down in the book of Kings or Chronicles or Samuel. And we look back upon that today, and we should use the Bible to form our perception of reality. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have like this. If you really truly believe the Bible, if you really truly believe that these stories are true, here's the thing. The Bible tells you there's no new thing under the sun. Amen. That which was is that that shall be. The same way that the world operated in the past is the same way that it operates now and in the future. Mm-hmm. And there's not going to be just this drastic difference. Oh yeah, people were wicked and they did evil things in the past, but they don't do it today. That's not what the Bible teaches. Look at 1 Kings chapter number 15. We'll begin reading in verse number 25. The Bible says, "And Nadab the son of Jeroboam began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin." And then it says in verse 27, I'm sorry, "And Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar," it says, "conspired against him, and Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, for Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon." Have you turned to another passage? We're going to look through quite a few of these. Go to 1 Kings chapter number 16. 1 Kings chapter number 16. And we don't have to go far to get to each one. 1 Kings chapter number 16. Look at verse number 8. We'll begin reading there. The Bible says, "In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah the son of Baasha to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in," it says, "and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead." Skip down to verse number 15 again. "In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days in Tirzah, and the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri hath conspired, and hath also slain the king, wherefore all Israel made Omri the captain of the host, king over Israel that day in the camp." And then it says in verse number 17, "And Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass, when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house, and burnt the king's house over him with fire, and died." So you have Baasha just a couple of generations back, someone conspiring against him and then killing him. And then we see here, beginning in verse number 10, it says that Zimri went in, and he smote, referring to, I believe, King Asa. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah the son of Baasha to reign. So it was Elah the son of Baasha to reign over Israel and Tirzah. So he ends up being conspired against and killed. Then what did it say? He reigned for 7 days, I believe?
Yeah.
He reigns for 7 days. And then Omri conspires with all of Israel to come and to slay Zimri. So you have three, within one person's lifetime, you have three different conspiracies being carried out completely and 100% independently, with all three agendas for the purpose of killing someone, for the purpose of, you know, doing harm to someone. Turn over to, keep your hand here, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter number 15. We'll go back to 2 Samuel chapter number 15, verse number 12. 2 Samuel chapter number 15, verse number 12. The Bible says, "And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gileadite." This is where I had read and derived the title of the sermon. David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And then it says this, "And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually," it says, "with Absalom." So we can see that there was a conspiracy, and the conspiracy was so strong that literally Absalom, if you're familiar with the story, was able to persuade and to manipulate almost the entire nation to turn against his own father, who had been reigning over them for years. He was able to persuade and manipulate an entire nation. Think about that in your mind. A whole country was manipulated and brainwashed by one man. Mm-hmm. With an evil agenda. And do you think that they thought they were doing something wrong? Of course not. They thought that what they were doing was what was right, was what God would have them to do. We're going to go to 2 Kings now. 2 Kings chapter number 9. 2 Kings chapter number 9. Now I'm sure there were people that were involved with Absalom and that were conspiring with him in the sense that they were privy to the plan and they knew that the outcome was going to be something negative or bad. But I'm positive, or I believe personally, that most of the people of the nation were not aware that something wrong, something bad was going on. That the purpose of Absalom was to, you know, do something evil and to steal the kingdom from David, who was a righteous man. Look at 2 Kings chapter number 9, verse number 14. 2 Kings chapter number 9, verse number 14 says, "So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had kept Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, because of Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram was returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, If it be your minds, then let none go forth nor escape out of the city to go to tell it in Jezreel." And then Jehu comes and slays him. So look over at 2 Kings. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 10, verse number 9. We'll begin reading verse number 8. "And there came a messenger and told him, saying, They have brought the heads of the king's sons. And he said, Lay ye them in two heaps at the entering in of the gate until the morning. And it came to pass in the morning that he went out and stood and said to all the people, Ye be righteous, behold, I conspired against my master and slew him, but who slew all these?" So he's referring to another conspiracy that took place. That conspiracy was actually brought out by himself as well. This is Jehu speaking, and he wrote to the to people that were in Samaria, basically to off some of the other people that were there, to kill some of the other people that were there that were in positions of authority so Jehu could come. Now this particular conspiracy that was brought out was actually a commandment that was given to Jehu. And he was anointed basically just to clean everybody out. And then he was supposed to go in and serve as a righteous king, which he made mistakes, obviously, later on in his kingship later on in his life. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter number 12. 2 Kings chapter number 12. We're going to look at almost, if not all, of the mentions of the word conspiracy and many of the word conspire. So all of the variations. 2 Kings chapter number 12, look at verse number 20. read verse number 19. "And the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And his servants arose and made a conspiracy and slew Joash in the house of Milo, which goeth down to Silla, for Josachar, the son of Shimeath, and Jehozabad, the son of Shomer, her servant, smote him, and he died. And they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead." Flip over to 2 Kings chapter number 14, verse number 19. 2 Kings chapter number 14, verse number 19. It's one conspiracy after another. Conspiracies taking place and major conspiracies being pulled off where people are plotting and planning together to take, there's a man reigning. There's a man that's the king. And two, three people will come together and plan to go and to kill this person. Look at 2 Kings chapter number 14, verse number 19. 2 Kings chapter number 14, verse number 19. The Bible reads, we'll read verse 17 as well, we'll keep getting the context. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. And the rest of the acts of Amaziah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Now they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent after him to Lachish and slew him there. And they brought him on horses, and he was buried at Jerusalem, with his fathers in the city of David. So notice, now they made a conspiracy against him. Turn over again to 2nd, let's look at actually verse, 2nd Kings chapter 15, look at verse number 10. Verse number 10, the Bible says, and Shalem, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him and smote him before the Lord, it says, and slew him and reigned in his stead. So what's the reason why these people keep conspiring against someone else? Or why that there's a conspiracy pulled out? There's already some person that has power or that has some sort of authority or that's reigning already maybe over another king or another kingdom, whatever it may be, or maybe they're of a lineage or of a line that also could have obtained the throne, and they become greedy and they just want more. And they want to take the power and the authority from another person. Look over again, the same chapter, 2 Kings chapter number 15, verse number 25. But Pekah the son of Remaliah, a captain of his, conspired against him and smote him in Samaria in the palace of the king's house with Argob and Aria, and with him 50 men of the Gileadites, and he killed him and reigned in his room. Look at 2 Kings chapter number 15, verse number 30. And Hoshea the son of Elah made a conspiracy against Pekah the son of Remaliah and smote him and slew him and reigned in his stead in the 20th year of Jotham the son of Uzziah. Flip over to 2 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 4. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Go over to 2 Kings chapter number 21 now. 2 Kings chapter number 21. We got a couple more we're going to look at here. 2 Kings chapter number 21. Verse number 23. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him and slew the king in his house. And the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his stead. Now go over to 2 Chronicles chapter number 33. 2 Chronicles chapter number 33. Second Chronicles chapter number 33, look at verse number 24. Verse number 21, actually. Ammon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Ammon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Ammon trespassed more and more. It says in verse number 24, and his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. I'm going to have you turn to one more passage here on this subject. Go to Psalms chapter number 2, verse number 2. Jeremiah chapter number 11, verse number 9 reads, and the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy. Sounds like God is a conspiracy theorist. A conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapter number 22, verse number 25. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. This is God speaking again. Like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. So those are all just verses that I just used. Those are all the verses that include the word conspiracy and include the word conspire. Now I didn't even go to every verse number one. But number two, do you realize, if you could just scan through your mind, if you know the Bible even a little bit, number one, like I mentioned earlier, Jesus Christ was conspired against. And that didn't even use the word conspiracy or conspire. You know, you have multiple examples. You have Delilah conspiring with the Philistines for Samson. You could just sit here and you could just think over and over. You have Adonijah conspiring against taking the throne from Solomon. It's like every single generation of the kings that were reigning, there was some sort of conspiracy that took place. That's a conspiracy specifically that's mentioned in the Bible because it's relevant because of the order of the kings. Imagine how many other conspiracies took place that didn't have to do with the succession of the king's reign that just aren't mentioned in the Bible at all. The Bible is a book of conspiracies. The Bible, and you know what that should do to us? That should make you awake. That should wake you up. Amen. Now, I'm not following the truth movement that's out in this world. I'm following this movement right here. Amen. This is what I, and this isn't a book of conspiracy theories. This is a book of conspiracy facts.
Right.
And you know what you'll do if you just walk around in your life and you just walk around asleep and you think that everyone's good in this world, you will destroy your life and you will destroy your family's life. That's what you will do. If you go around and you trust your kids with other people, if you go around and you don't believe, the Bible teaches that evil people creep into the churches. The Bible teaches that there are evil people, that there are false prophets, and that there will be false prophets among you, the Bible says, that have an agenda to come in and to harm and to hurt and to injure people.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that be spiritually, physically, and if you're just completely naive to that, if you're just completely gullible and you don't understand that the Bible warns you and teaches you this for a reason, the word conspiracy and conspire is used repeatedly to wake you up, to help you realize that everything is not just how it seems. Look at, where did I have you turn again?
Psalms
chapter number 2, verse number 2. Psalms chapter number 2, verse number 2. The Bible says, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed." So that was a prophecy of them taking counsel together, of the people conspiring against, you know, the Lord. And obviously there's an immediate application to Jesus, being of that seed, being the anointed. Look at Psalms chapter number 31, verse number 13, where David himself talks about this. He said, "For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life." So notice what he said. "For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side." Oh, you're paranoid. "Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me." He says, "They devised to take away my life." Psalms chapter number 71, verse number 10. David says again, "For my enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together." People were conspiring, and there was a conspiracy to kill David, to kill King David. Look at Psalms chapter number 83, verse number 3. Psalms chapter number 83, verse number 3. Psalm chapter number 83, verse number 3. "They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones." So notice what that just said. It says, "They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones." There are not just conspiracies that are carried out only to gain power in this world and only to gain authority. You know, obviously the devil will use men and will suffice men and try to placate them with giving them more money and giving them more power and giving them more authority. And obviously we know that the end goal for the devil is that he might be worshipped as God. But the devil is very wicked and the devil is very evil and the devil wants to harm you.
Amen.
There is a conspiracy out in this world today. There is a conspiracy in this world today to destroy and to devour Christians. And if you don't wake up to that, if you just walk around with your eyes closed, and what, you want me to tell you why so many Christians today? I'll tell you two reasons why so many of these Christians today are asleep. Number one is because of the pre-tribulation rapture. Because it just teaches people. The whole purpose of the pre-tribulation rapture and the reason why it was embraced in the first place is because it makes them, it gives them this false hope that they never have to worry about anything. That there's never going to be any trouble and they're never going to be persecuted. And here's the thing. You can say, oh, well, yeah, that's just talking about the tribulation and the end times. The whole reason why it was invented in the first place was to make people feel like they're at peace. Now, why would it make sense for it only to apply to the end times and not to right now? Why would they embrace it in the first place? It doesn't matter. The reason why the pre-tribulation rapture is so popular is because it makes people, it allows people to feel right in their lives. It allows people to feel comfortable and to just walk through their lives asleep and feel like there's nothing wrong and there's nothing going bad in this world. And you want to know the other reason why people are just blind to conspiracies? Because a lot of the stinking conspiracies that are pulled out and that are carried out and perpetrated in this world are taking place in our government, and you have a bunch of people that are just obsessed and are worshiping the United States of America.
Yep.
And the United States of America is wicked as hell.
Amen.
There is more blood on the hands of the United States of America than almost every single country that has been upon this planet. Whether you talk about abortion, whether you talk about all the wars that have taken place, the United States of America is wicked as hell. And these bunch of people that are scared to say, hey, that's a conspiracy. Do you know why? Because they worship this country. That's why. Yeah. Because they're obsessed with the United States of America. Because they have this overly patriotic attitude. And they wouldn't dare say, oh, George W. Bush had something to do with 9/11. Because they're obsessed with the United States of America. Now, you know what would happen in a situation if you were in the Old Testament? Excuse me. You were in the Old Testament, and there was a conspiracy that was brought out, and you were in the heart of the battle. You, for some reason, was in a situation where you were vulnerable. Do you know what would happen? You would die.
Yeah.
And there's going to come a time, and I believe very shortly. Here's the thing. People are foolish. Number one, they buy into the pre-tribulation rapture. But even if it was pre-trib, they talk about all the time, well, brother, I believe the rapture could take place any minute. And they claim that they believe all the events of the book of Revelation are true. They claim that they believe that all the nations are going to worship the Antichrist. All the nations are going to be, all joined together and in unison. And then even the authorities of these countries are going to come together and they're going to make a treaty with the Antichrist. Then what do you think? A switch is just going to go off and America's just going to go down the tubes all of a sudden? Even if you think that America's good today? You know what it does? It takes people, it makes people, when they accept the pre-tribulation rapture, and it causes major problems in their life, in their spiritual walk with God. It causes them to just not worry about the Bible, to not read the Bible, to not think that they need to be spiritually strengthened. And do you know what's going to happen to these people? Sadly, a lot of them will lose their lives.
Yeah.
Sadly, a lot of their children will lose their lives. And then they look at people like this and they just think, well, you're just a conspiracy theorist. You just believe in all, you're just paranoid. You and your tinfoil hat, and they want to try to mock people that say, hey, the mark of the beast, this could be the mark of the beast. Oh, that's ridiculous. It's like you don't even believe the Bible in the first place. It's like you don't even believe that the Bible's true.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it'll happen later. It's like they have like two views of reality. It's like the Bible's over here and it's reality, and then we have this world that we live in today. Do you really believe the Bible or not? Go to Revelation chapter number 13. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So what's the reason to be sober? Because the devil is trying to devour you. He's looking for someone that's not sober. He's looking for someone that's not awake. He's looking for someone that's not paranoid. Obviously, paranoid, I'm using their terms. It comes from the word fear. We're not supposed to fear anyone but God. Amen. He's looking for someone that's not awake and not looking around and someone that's not vigilant. Look at Revelation chapter number 13. Revelation chapter number 13. The Bible says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." So notice, this beast is going to be reigning in a high place. This beast is going to be reigning with great authority and power. It says in verse 3, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life," excuse me, "of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man hear, let him hear. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lion, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he made power, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand were their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Maybe turn to the very last passage. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 40. Jeremiah chapter number 40. The Bible is a book of conspiracies. And like I said, the title of the sermon is "The Conspiracy Was Strong." And at the end times, when the end times come about, there's going to be a great conspiracy that takes place, where the Antichrist, the devil, is going to be manifested as a man, just like Jesus Christ was. And he is going to be reigning with great power and great authority, like we read here with the Bible. There's going to be the false prophet who is literally going to be able to perform sorts of miracles. There's going to be an image that's made. And this image, in whatever way that may mean, whether that is something to do with, you know, modern technology, but the image, the Bible teaches, is going to come to life in some way. And practically everyone on the whole planet is going to be worshiping the beast. And at this same exact time, there's going to be a mark that's given out. And if you don't have this mark, and the only way to get the mark is to worship the beast, so if you're saved, you're not getting the mark. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have this mark, the Antichrist, it has power over all of the nations and all of the kingdoms. The entire world is working together with him. He has access to all of their facilities, all of their property, all of their resources, every bit of money that they have, every technology that they have, and his goal is to put Christians to death. That is the goal. This will be the greatest or the most, you know, the Bible said, like we saw earlier, that this conspiracy was strong. This will be the strongest conspiracy that has ever taken place, with people working together. This amount of people working together against just Christians, just believers only. And you say, why does it matter? Why would this matter? What if I just don't believe in conspiracies? You know, what if I just reject, you know, all conspiracies and I don't believe in any modern day conspiracies? Well, there will be all these conspiracies we read about earlier have already taken place. Mm-hmm. But there is the greatest conspiracy that has ever occurred in the history of mankind yet to come, and possibly in your lifetime. And I'll tell you why it matters. Look there at Jeremiah chapter number 40. Jeremiah chapter number 40, this takes place in the Babylonian captivity when Nebuchadnezzar raids the city, and he puts someone of his own choice, of his own fruition, in power, Gedaliah. We'll begin reading in Jeremiah chapter 40, verse number 11. It says, likewise, when all the Jews that were in Moab, and among the Ammonites, and in Edom, and that were in all the countries, heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah, and that he had set over them Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, even all the Jews returned out of all places whither they were driven, and came to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah unto Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruits very much. Moreover, Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were in the fields, came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, and said unto him, dost thou certainly know that Baalis, the king of the Ammonites, hath sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to slay thee? But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, believed them not. So Gedaliah is put into power, and he's told, the Bible teaches here, it says, excuse me, dost thou certainly know that Baalis, the king of the Ammonites, hath sent Ishmael? So the king, the Antichrist, is sending someone. It would be just like the Antichrist is sending someone to kill someone, right? It's just like in the end times when the Antichrist is reigning, and he sends out, you know, the forces that he has access to, the military. He sends out the police. And he says, hey, kill this person. This person doesn't have the mark. This is a saint. This is a Christian. It says that he believed him not. So the person just doesn't believe him. Verse 15. Then Johanan the son of Kareah spake to Gedaliah in Mizpah secretly, saying, let me go, I pray thee, and I will slay Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, and no man shall know it. Wherefore should he slay thee, that all the Jews which are gathered unto thee should be scattered, and the remnant in Judah perish? But Gedaliah the son of Ahikam said unto Johanan the son of Kareah, thou shalt not do this thing, for thou speakest falsely of Ishmael. So he does not believe. There's a conspiracy that's taking place, and Gedaliah just says, I don't believe you. He denies it. Look at verse number 1 in chapter number 41. See what the result is, the conclusion. Now it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, notice, he's in a high power, right? Of the seed royal and the princes of the king, even 10 men with him came unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and there they did eat bread together in Mizpah. Verse 2. Then arose Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men that were with him, and smote Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, and slew him, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. So Gedaliah had an opportunity to save his own life. Gedaliah had an opportunity to be able to spare himself. And when someone came to him and they told him, hey, there's a conspiracy out there to kill you. There's a conspiracy out there to put you to death. Gedaliah just dismissed it. He said, thou speakest falsely. He said, you're a liar. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're paranoid. You're crazy. He told him, there's nobody coming. And then he goes so far as to invite Ishmael into his house with all the princes and everything. Mm-hmm. You know what happens? He dies. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and buy a George Orwell, you know, book tomorrow, a novel. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to tell you to go out and, you know, purchase some conspiracy theorist book. And I'm not trying to convince you that 9/11 was a conspiracy. I don't care what you believe about those things. What I care about is that you actually believe the Bible when it says that there are conspiracies that are perpetrated in the earth. Whatever conspiracies you believe in, what I care about is that you're prepared when the Antichrist comes. And that you believe that, yes, today we are moving closer and closer and closer to a new world order, to a one world government, and that will at least occur on this earth someday. Because if you don't believe that, you're not prepared. Mm-hmm. You're not spiritually prepared. And you know what's going to happen in your life? You're going to become complacent in your life. You're going to become complacent. You're going to stop, you know, you're going to stop being vigilant. You're going to stop being sober. You know, you're going to stop even just, you're not going to care about anything. You won't read your Bible. You won't have any reason to. And that's, I believe that's a major part of the lack of Bible knowledge today. It's because people have bought into the pre-tribulation rapture. They get saved. They just feel like, I'm going to heaven. I got nothing to worry about. They don't think that tribulation or persecution takes place in the church age. They think that no trouble is coming. That's not what the Bible teaches, my friend.
Yeah.
That's not what God, and God warned us. God uses the word conspiracy, I believe, multiple times. And I believe that He showed us all the wickedness in high places in the Old Testament and all the different examples. And I believe He gives us detailed instructions of the end times and what's going to take place so that you can be prepared. So that you can be prepared. This book is a book of conspiracies. Whether you like that or not, the word conspiracies from the beginning to end, and Jesus Christ was crucified, and that was brought about through a conspiracy. If you're a Christian, and if you really truly believe the Bible, you will believe in conspiracies.
Amen.
And that will cause you to be prepared, and that will cause you to be vigilant, and that will cause you to be sober. And look over your family, and watch out for the church, you know, and people coming in, and it'll make sure that you're alert. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You, dear Lord, for Your word. We thank You for all the warnings, dear God. And we thank You that Your word is powerful enough, dear Lord God, and that it's strong enough to give us boldness, dear Lord. And when the world tries to mock and laugh, dear God, at those things that we believe are coming in the end times, that we just know that it's true, dear Lord, and that it just gives us, you know, it gives us boldness to stand with Your word. We love You, and we ask You just to be with us and keep us safe and help us to be prepared, dear Lord, if this comes in our lifetime. We love You in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.